Yes, guys, what's good? You're tuned into Mango Masala, Pi Radio South Asian show. My name's Gerns. I'm here with Halima.
Hey, everybody.
And we've also got Simran on stream. How are you doing?
Hi.
A little bit worse for wear.
I'm sensing a bit of a bad mood going on.
No, it's not a bad mood, guys. I've had 2 hours sleep. I was saying to Carlos before, like, basically, the reason I've had 2 hours sleep, it is like a self-enforced thing because I've got a deadline basically for something that I'm working on. Nobody asked me what it is, but I've got a deadline for something that I'm working on, and I've been working on it for like ages now, and the deadline is in a few days, and I should have got it done already. Like, in terms of the amount of work that needs to be done, I should have got it done already. And I've just been kind of giving myself self-imposed deadlines that I just keep, like, overrunning. And I got to a point where I was like, I'm only going to get this done if I do an all-nighter. Like, if I keep waiting until the deadline, like, I'm going to find myself in this position. Like, it's going to always end up being an all-nighter. Because that's the only way that my ADHD brain actually knows how to work. So I had to basically... I've been doing like semi all-nighters this entire past week where I've been sleeping at 6, 7am and still like no progress.
But did you get it done?
And you know what's mad, Carlos? I say I've been working on this for maybe like over a month now, and I've been giving myself, as I say, semi all-nighters all this past week. I got maybe 60% of it done in the space of like a handful of hours from like 8 a.m. till 11 a.m.
The thing is, isn't like,
my brain is broken, guys. Like,
I think whilst the reason why this ends up happening for you might be because of ADHD, I think the reason the where you've got this pattern from is probably from uni, isn't it?
It is. It's from uni where that's what I'm saying. That my brain now only knows how to work when I do all nighters. And that's what I've had to, in order to get this piece of work done, that's what I've had to like impose on myself as an all-nighter. So I went to sleep at 11, I woke up at 1.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for gracing me with your presence.
That's what I used to be like at uni as well, but also I could do a week of all-nighters and still do nothing in 6 days. And then it comes to the 7th day and I'm like, okay, I've got no time. I literally have no choice but to bang out. Literally. So like I've wasted 6 days of staying up all night. And then I know when I've got that much time pressure that I have to get done. I've written like 3,000 words in like a night.
That's literally me. But you would think like I would grow out of it after uni, and I haven't. Like I'm 28 in a handful of months, which, by the way, guys, is...
I'm the same because, like, even with work, I do my work in the day now because I can't be asked longing it out, like, past 5 o'clock. But I always know, like, if you just let me do this at, like, 11 p.m., I would do it in, like, an hour and a half. Like, there's no need for the work day to be 8 hours anyway because I can do all that work in a couple of hours. I could be done by midday and then just have the rest of the afternoon. That whole 8 hours is just decoration. Mm. But, yeah, if I really sat and put my mind to it, I could just do everything in a few hours.
Yeah, my issue is I can't put my mind to it. Can't put my mind to things. So anyways, guys, that's why I'm really tired, because my brain is broken and I don't know how to work unless it's an all-nighter. And even when I don't have to do it, I have to make myself do it in order to work. Sigh. Yeah. And I'm on my period. Sigh.
Same. I'm really tired.
Why is everyone on their period?
Synchronized menses.
Not you, Carlos. Well, you're lucky, aren't you?
My wife is. If I'm allowed to share the information.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure you are.
Anyway, hey Carlos, how was your holiday? Oh, it was great.
Oh, I completely forgot. No, but this is what I mean. Like, I've been in, because I got off like social media. I've been in a complete like deadline bubble. I actually forgot. It looked amazing. How was Rhodes? Carlos went to Rhodes.
It was very nice. I mean, the weather, it was decent. It wasn't amazing. First couple of days were definitely better than the last couple of days. Still managed to get a bit of sun, which is nice. And yeah, it was nice, like nice views.
How was the hotel and all inclusive and the flight package?
It was nice. Like there was definitely there wasn't really a catch per se. Because it was so cheap, we were expecting a catch, and there wasn't really. I mean, the food was it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad, so that was good. And I think the only catch was maybe we realized afterwards, because a lot of my friends have been having a couple of drinks maybe this week and realized that their tolerance is really low, and we think basically what we were drinking there was watered down alcohol.
Definitely.
Because like
wait So you weren't feeling it there?
We were like feeling it, but it probably was
sometimes
a bit.
That's a placebo,
it was a bit of placebo, and also because no one was really getting hangovers.
I thought like all inclusive was like famous for like the strongest drinks you ever had.
Well, they don't want to do that, do they? Because if you think about it, they're constantly, because we were there like with three drinks at a time before the bar closed, and like, yeah, it makes sense now.
I've just seen loads of TikToks where like people like just hammered on their all inclusives.
Well,
can't really.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of it is also probably for show as well. I mean, we were feeling it, but it wasn't like, I don't know. To be fair, now I say it as well, I think the most animated I felt was when we went out for dinner, so it probably does add up there.
Yeah, like, makes sense.
Yeah. Oh well, but no, it was still a really nice time. Would
the place is
recommend.
Like very objectively very beautiful.
Yeah, roads itself very nice. It's a bit windy at times, but like it looks really nice.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, I enjoyed.
Did it feel like it was off-season or was it still quite busy?
No, 100% it was off-season. That's probably why it was cheap as well. Yeah. Like I said, the average age of the people there was like 40, which is kind of funny. Like 40, 50, like that. I'd say there was like a couple of kids maybe, but then there was like, we were then the youngest, like kind of vibe. So like, there were a couple of kids, but there was no like teenagers or maybe one set of young adults, but it was mostly like...
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But yeah. It was good. Would recommend. Not sponsored by Butcher on the Beach, so if anyone wants to do that.
Love that for you, can't relate.
There was no catch.
We even still being
there
stuck.
There was a small catch, but I won't say it on air. I'll tell you guys later. But yeah.
You look a bit tired, to be fair.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it. Still sitting next to you.
Does he?
Like, I know, because you can't see properly in the Zoom lighting, and also the camera lighting there, I can see there's still a big comparison. But
yeah, in the Zoom lighting, you can't. Yeah. The light's shining. I just look yellow.
Yeah. But yeah, I did get a bit of a tan. Not as much as I would have liked to, but we'll take it. But also, I am now going to Thailand in a couple months. So
Carlos, got the holiday book. This is very unexpected of you.
It's because people keep on inviting me to go on things. I'm like, yeah.
What? Were they not inviting you before?
No.
This whole time that Carlos is like, I don't like going abroad. I like it's because you weren't getting an invite.
No.
Carlos.
Because me and my friends were discussing this when we were there as well, and they were all talking about, oh, I want to visit this place, visit this place. I'm like, I have no expressed desire to really go anywhere. Like, if someone says, do you want to go, maybe I'll go, but, like, I'm not that. But this year, it was like, Mayanka visiting family in India. Yes, okay, I'll go. That'd be nice. Went there. This trip, oh, let's go on a trip. We'd never been abroad before with my group of friends. It's really cheap. It's Greece. Yes, let's go. It was a nice time. Done that. And now it's a load of Mayanka's family are celebrating significant birthdays, and they've never been on like a family holiday before, and they're like, let's do it.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
When? How long?
When?
Where?
Yeah.
July, I think 2 weeks, 1.5 weeks around that time.
That's sick. Yeah. Thailand is amazing. You're going to love it. Like, it's really amazing. Say less. Me too, I'll come. Don't just ask me twice.
NFI.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Horrid boy. No, Thailand is actually amazing. Like you could, I always say like Southeast Asia is one of my favorite parts of the world ever. Like to holiday in,
to travel in.
Have you not been? You need to.
I think that is one of the main things that's put me off it. Like before, is just how far away it is.
It's not that bad, man. You lot be going to India. Like, don't worry, it's not that far.
Yeah, it can't be that much off India.
It's actually not.
Well, I suppose it's like,
14, 15 hours?
I suppose it's like 8 hours from India, is it not? But then I suppose you're not going
no,
down.
No, yeah, you don't go exactly. Like, it's really not that bad. And it's worth it. It's so worth it. Like,
yeah. No, obviously I'm looking forward to it. But like, and that's one of the things that was like in my head. Like, not that I've ever been like, oh, I want to go to Thailand. But yeah. No, it should be nice. So yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
That's all of the nice catchy up things talked about. Now let's get on to what's been going on in the world this week, which let's start with a little bit of a more chill thing. I've shown Simran because you're not on Twitter, but have you seen this whole keyboard thing?
No, I'm not on Twitter either.
Right.
But like,
I don't know why you're so mad. And other people are experiencing this as well. So basically, unless you've been living under a rock like these two, you will... know that on Twitter this week you can't go like a couple of tweets without seeing, look between this letter on the keyboard, and then it's like a picture. And the thing is as well, it's always, they're such long-winded jokes. Like it'll be like a picture that suggests something, and then it'll be like, look between H and L on your keyboard, and the letters there are J and K, and it's like, oh, joke. Like, it's just like, no, it's not funny. Like, stop.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. So Carlos had to send Simran and I a link because obviously neither of us really knew what this meme was about. And I read the article and I was just kind of like, it seems kind of anticlimactic.
It's like, what so is this? It's dead.
Not, but like, I get it. Like, it's not funny. And I know how, like, some jokes that go on for way too long are just, like, objectively not funny and they get a bit annoying. But, like, you're really mad about it.
But you know what?
Do you know what it is? It's like a very limited joke capacity, like,
yeah,
because there's a fixed number of letters,
and
no, because there's a fixed number of letters on the keyboard, and yeah, it's static, like it doesn't move,
and it's because it has a call to action. I can't see the joke on my timeline and just like see it and be like, oh, okay, cool, whatever, move on. I see it and then like, okay, what letters is that? And when you're on your phone, the keyboard isn't just there. I have to open my keyboard, to which I have to like pretend that I'm doing a tweet so I can see the keyboard, then go and find it, and then it's the worst joke ever, and then put it back, and it's like, for what?
I found that like when I was looking at the article that you said,
yeah,
and I was like looking at some of the examples of the meme, I was like, well, obviously I don't know on the top of my head, and then I have to go, so I was like, I was having to like just go off the next app, like on Snapchat, like, yeah, it's just long. Like,
maybe if you're on like a laptop, maybe it's not that bad, but when you're on a phone, it's just jarring, and I'm just fed up of it. And I think it's fading away now, but just everyone who's doing this, please just stop. Please, like, I'm fed up of it.
I think it's very like, it really is giving like Gen Z.
Well, apparently it's come from 4chan, I think.
Everyone, for Carlos's, I don't know what that is. Sanity,
I think it's like Reddit, like that kind of vibe. Right. Yeah.
But like, it feels like we're too old for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like one of those things in the same kind of bracket. Was like, I know it wasn't a meme, but it feels in the same kind of bracket as being like ping for a rate, like message for opinions and like you know that kind of stuff that we used to
annoying
do.
Annoying internet
like,
speech.
I miss that.
I never did that.
That's what it feels like.
Sure you did.
I wasn't a loser.
As if.
I didn't.
You never did like a message me a number and I'll give you a rating.
No.
Pop up for like a like, to be honest.
Nah,
rating.
You never put anyone in your BBM name.
I don't have a phone till I was 16. I had super strict Asian parents.
Wow.
My Facebook account was like secret. Music,
the song that you were listening to, and I'd always put like some like Young Money.
Listen, guys. I'm Asian with a capital A. I had strict parents. I did not get a phone till I was 16.
You know what I find hilarious about the secret Facebook account, though?
I had to pretend I was doing like my schoolwork and I'd be like on a secret Facebook account.
No, but it's like mine were like that as well. They were like, no, you can't have Facebook or like until like you're of age. And me, instead of being a normal like young teenager, like
making a secret account,
I literally waited the day of my 13th birthday, went and set up a Facebook account.
Like, I was never allowed. I just got to an age where I just stopped hiding the fact that I have one, which probably was even up to my 20s or something. I don't know. Like,
oh dear.
Yeah, guys, I really been through the trenches, you know, with my parents. I got stories for days.
We're aware.
Yeah, trauma.
Anyway, speaking of keyboard and keyboard warriors, Simran, you sent a TikTok earlier this week that you wanted to discuss.
Wait, no, I can't. I know I sent two. I know one.
Regarding a certain footballer, Mr. Declan Rice, plays for Arsenal.
Oh, his girlfriend, his partner, yeah.
Yeah, the mother of his child. Oh,
this
well.
Is... This episode, I feel very, like, I'm too tired to talk today, guys. Okay. But I'm just saying, I feel like this is going to be a very feminist episode today.
When is it not?
And that's to be fair, it always is. It always is.
But that's how I feel. Like, I'm just seeing so much stuff, and every day I get more angry.
I hear it.
And, yeah, this Declan Rice thing. Wait, it's Declan Rice, right?
Yeah.
I don't know my footballer, sorry. It's really annoying me. Like, I've seen so many TikToks about it. And basically, for those of you that don't know, it is a footballer who has been with his partner since they were, like, teenagers, since high school.
For 8 years. They're now, like,
25. Yeah, they have a child together. I think she gave birth, like, quite recently.
I think
they've been,
like,
together forever.
Yeah, it's nearly... The son, Jude, is nearly two. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay, fine. But they've had a baby together.
Yeah.
He's a very big footballer. And I don't even know how to say it. Like, she's a very beautiful woman. She's just not, like, stick thin, and she maybe
she's just,
like,
not quite conventionally
she's not what you would
attractive.
Expect your typical, like, conventional wag to look like, right? Mm. She's not stick thin, and, like, she just doesn't fit the stereotype of what everyone would expect, like, a Premier League footballer's partner to look like. She has received, I think, some pictures came out because they went abroad together recently.
Yeah, the paparazzi ones.
So many people felt the need to make their comments on her body, her looks, basically saying that he could do so much better, and why is he wasting his time with her, someone that looks like that, completely negating the fact that they have been together for so long. They have obviously a wonderful relationship and a child together.
Mm.
Like, just literally downgrading the whole thing just to how she looks.
Yeah.
And it just really begs the question about how women are really perceived as nothing more than their external appearance. And, like, it's completely unfathomable for someone with as much money and status as someone like a Premier League footballer to be with someone who doesn't quite fit that mold. Because how could he go for someone that, when he could have all these women that look like X, Y, and Z, how could he go for someone that looks like that? Whereas it's not even considering the fact that she's a person in her own right.
Yeah.
Like,
it's because beauty is currency, and, like, in a situation, in a dynamic where there is a very clear power dynamic, more time where the male kind of in that relationship is extremely, extremely rich, you kind of expect there to be a more superficial transaction, like, transactional nature of their relationship, where he's providing the money and in return, like, she's providing kind of like the trophy wife mantle. And part of that, well, to be honest, like, a large part of that, almost all of that, is to look a certain way, because men's status is oftentimes very intimately linked to the attractiveness of their female partners in heterosexual relationships, which is obviously, like, really messed up. But that's why when we have a woman who maybe doesn't fit those kind of conventional standards of beauty, it confounds that, like, very well established kind of transactional nature in those types of heterosexual relationships, and it causes people to just, like, wild out. But honestly, there's a lot that could be said on an intellectual level, but really, truly, all I've got to say is touch grass. Like, are you, like, do you think it should be you? Is that why you're mad? Like, do you think that it should be you? Like, are you jealous? Is that what that is? Like,
well,
why?
The fact is, as well, as a lot of the people that are saying this are young heterosexual male football fans as well.
It's because, like, and it's because it's this whole thing of, like, parasocial relationships once again, because it's where they, like, they obviously do this thing where they see themselves in that position, right? Because that's what's aspirational for them. It's the same thing when people ardently defend billionaires, because somehow in their mind they've convinced themselves that they're going to be in that position one day, and they are therefore angry that this kind of well-established system and dynamic that they are aspiring to can be confounded in such a way, because maybe they think when it's their turn, you know, it's going to be like that as well. I don't know, but
yeah, I think it's just
like, what's it got to do with you? You are not going to bed with that woman at night. You are not waking up with that woman in the morning. You are not providing for her. You are not caring for her. Get your own girl. You think you could do so much better? Get your own girl.
Yeah.
Show us. Show us.
It's just so sad as well, because not that this would make it allowable in any sense, but I think a lot of the time when women receive stick online, it's following them having actively done something, right, that someone disagrees with. Like, maybe they've gone on a podcast.
Oh, this girl was just on holiday. She's minding her business.
She was living her life.
She was purely just existing.
But I actually think that's very common. Like, that's what happens all the time with women. Like, they'll just be minding their business, and anyhow, people are coming to...
Men can do anything. Men can do anything, and it's about what they're doing. It's about the activity that they're doing and how they're doing it. Women can do the exact same thing, and it's about what she's wearing, what her body looks like, what her clothes look like, what her hair looks like, her face, her skin, and all the rest of it, right? We are nothing more than how we look. to a lot of people.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and those pictures that went viral initially as well, it was after they'd just been in the pool together, which is obviously like, if you just come out of a swimming pool, if you're a normal person who's not been taking photos for an influencer shoot, you're obviously not going to have any makeup on. Yeah, exactly. It's a completely private setting as well. Yeah. Like,
and also, like, I think as well, someone asked him in a press conference something about, like, do you want to like upgrade or something like that, like something along those lines, literally in a press conference. Talk about football. Why are we bringing about all these different things? He's a footballer. Crazy. Talk about football. Why are you bringing up his wife?
Yeah. No, but that's brazen. They asked him, do you want to upgrade your wife,
something like that, like something along the lines of
brazen.
About, like,
and he did swing
about
that's
her
brazen.
Appearance and how he could like do better, essentially.
That's crazy. He should have swung. Sorry.
Also, I'm not gonna
but
lie,
but then he had to say in that conference, this isn't about that, like, this is not appropriate, and I love her, like, she's beautiful, like, why have you having to now sit there and defend her?
Yeah, because the thing is as well, like, good on Declan for saying that, but also, he also himself, he's not bad looking, but he's not the stereotypically, like,
no one holds every single footballer, like, you have footballers who are attractive, that people obviously are like, oh, Jude Bellingham, Ronaldo, blah, 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 that everyone's like, they're obviously very attractive people, but, like, there are so many footballers who don't look like that and no one cares. They're just footballers and they're just held to the standard of playing good football or not. Whereas for women, it's like you have to now be good looking and good at your craft.
Yeah. I just feel so bad for her because for people that don't know, she has recently decided to take down all of her Instagram posts.
Oh, yeah.
That's why this is in the news, because this first started, I think, towards the end of last year, and it's been going on for months, and now it must have reached some kind of breaking point.
I feel like with sort of like this, it's like we've spoken about the nature of parasocial relationships before, where people just feel entitled to comment on other people simply because they have some certain level of hypervisibility. But it's like, you really, and this is such a 2D, like, rudimentary kind of analysis of it, but it's true. Like, people need to remind themselves that these are actually people. Do you know what I mean? Like, for you, it's a consumption. Like, it's, you're consuming entertainment, you're consuming media, but these are real life people. This is a real woman. Like, she's human, she's fully formed, like, she has her own, like,
and
you
she's
know,
just minding her business. She's
and she's
just
this woman is just minding her business, you know what I mean? Like, she's,
and now she's been subject to all this, and like, the, I just think
right, that would oh my god, imagine I'm minding my business and people here doing think pieces about how busted I am. Oh my god, I would, like, never show my face again.
And now what, like, just people are so brazen on,
because you know what it is, like, you know what it is,
confident.
What's she gonna do, like, unless she goes gets plastic surgery, she can't change how she looks.
But people are still gonna hate on her.
Yeah, they will. But it's like the nature of what you lot are picking on, like, what is it that you're expecting her to do? You know what I mean? Like, what, like, get her?
But, like, I feel like, obviously, you guys will understand because we're all normal people, but I could never see someone have an opinion on it and then think, oh, I'm going to pull my keyboard.
Let me fix my fingers to type it, innit?
Like, oh, this person looks like XYZ. Like, get a life, touch grass.
Get a life, guys.
Yeah. Go outside, get off the internet. How many times do I have to say it on this show?
I mean, I know we're on the internet, but...
Nah, but we're normal. Go get a hobby, start knitting or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't live on him. We don't be sending abuse to poor and assuming women. I said we are on the internet, but we don't be sending abuse to poor and assuming women.
The thought of thinking someone's wearing like an ugly jumper and then going in the comment section and being like, I think your jumper's ugly. I couldn't never in a million
I don't
years.
Even be thinking like that about people. Swear down. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm so righteous and whatever, but like... But like, I don't form, like, opinions on people that I don't care about. Like, ultimately,
I think someone looks great and I'm not going to comment it because I'm just not going to be in people's, I'm not in random people's comments because I'm not like that. So, like, why would I go and tell someone that they're like,
ban comments,
pulling them out, like,
ban comments, ban Instagram comments, ban TikTok comments, ban Facebook comments, ban comments.
I was going to say ban podcast mics, but...
No. Yeah, everyone except... Well, we're a radio show, so whatever. Yeah, ban them if you want.
Right. Well, continuing along this theme, which I suppose what we've just discussed is kind of this as well, but it's time for...
Bad Vibes Island.
You know, I'm feeling so fragile today. That's like nearly going to push me over the edge.
I was thinking that, but he is getting better.
Thank you. Well, do you not think it sounds better when you can hear it? Like, it's always bad for Simran.
I can't hear it.
Nah,
bro, not even you. Not even you. Just the jingle and that idea of a Bad Vibes Island is going to push me over the edge today. I'm already fragile, guys.
I did point it out when I was coming back from Greece. I was like, there it is.
Oh, my God.
Right, well, I think you can probably guess the next point of discussion. It is the newly passed...
I can't. I don't want to. I can't be bothered.
Well, this is the thing. There's not really that much more to discuss.
We've
literally been covering every part of it. But just to give a bit of context as to why this is in the news again, so that people are up to date with where we're at now. Obviously, Rishi Sunak's government has been trying to...
I'm so sorry.
Really loud sniff.
Sorry, man. I'm not all right, guys. Continue.
Rishi Sunak's government has been trying to pass legislation that will allow them to deport anyone who comes illegally to the UK from a safe, quote-unquote, country, such as France. They're trying to make it so that they are allowed to effectively remove them from the country and send them to Rwanda. This was stopped by the Supreme Court due to initial worries, firstly about the risk of whether they would then be sent back to their home countries rather than remaining Rwanda, and secondly, due to Rwanda's poor human rights record. However, the UK has come back from this and has now passed a Rwanda bill, which basically... serves to make it clear in UK law that Rwanda is a quote-unquote safe country. So basically they're dodging around all this international law to basically say, well, we in terms of us, we believe that Rwanda is a safe country, therefore there shouldn't be any issue of us sending people there. So this new legislation...
The issue is that the right of deportation is not yours. You are not, like, government of the world for you to decide to pick up and replace people based on your own whims. That's what the issue is.
Well, this new legislation basically orders the courts to ignore key sections of the Human Rights Act. It also compels courts to disregard other British laws or international rules such as the International Refugee Convention, which all of which would serve to effectively block deportation to Rwanda. Come back from this basically is that actually there won't be any risk of Rwanda sending the people, the refugees, back to their original home countries because they've signed a new contract with them. However, the point still remains that Rwanda has a very questionable human rights record, which the UK itself has actively called out multiple times in the past. So for them to then turn around and say, well, we think the Rwanda is a perfectly fine country for us
you
to send
there,
people
then.
To.
Anyways, like, regardless of, I don't want to start discussing what, you know, Rwanda is good, Rwanda's bad, whatever. Like, what it's not is Britain's dumping ground, you know? Yeah. That's what it's not. this issue is, like, so disturbing on so many levels. First of all, just the idea of that Britain somehow have a mandate to just pick up and drop people anywhere in the world based on, as I say, their own whims, especially people, and this is something that we have discussed extensively in the show before, especially people that more time are fleeing from danger or they're trying to get to safety. They might have reasons to be in the UK in particular that need to be considered. But I think what is perhaps most disturbing at this point in the case is the overturning of, like, law or of law and order. We have seen over the past 6 months with the case of Israel and Palestine how certain countries, especially when they are allied with the West, are able to act against international law with complete impunity. And I think that this, what has happened here with the Rwanda bill, is a reverberation of that. We have seen extreme examples recently of countries just completely dismissing and disregarding, and even to the point of, like, denigrating international law. Not just saying that we're not going to adhere to it, but actually saying, like, oh, this law is nonsense, this law is bad, this law doesn't make sense, you know? And this is a clear continuation of that, where Rishi Sunak has just been like, I know these are international laws in order for a place that have, that are reflective of consensus built over decades of political campaigning and activism and deliberation, but I'm just going to disregard all of them. What that does is it sets a very, well, it has already set an extremely, extremely scary precedent where we're actually not protected, and where the state becomes authoritarian, where they have absolute power, which they have demonstrated in this case, to just overturn what are safety mechanisms, what are supposed to be safety mechanisms, right? So, and it doesn't end there. If they could do this with the Rwanda bill, where they could just say, we don't care about international law and order, we're going to do what we want anyway, what's stopping them from doing it with absolutely anything else? It puts our human rights in peril, you know? Like, it is. This is a fascist state. This is an authoritarian, we're moving towards an authoritarian state where we have seen the government be able to devolve power out of the hands of democracy.
Mm-hmm. You say you had something to say about Simran.
There was, I was trying to find it, but there was like, it wasn't PMQs, it was like question time or something. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was
the Congo.
There was
thingy.
A member of the audience who said, like, you need to protect against, what if there are people coming here from countries who are endangered and they're close by to Rwanda or endangered because of Rwanda, like the Congo, for example. He said, the guy in the audience basically said that, like, if he had family there, and he was like, if they came to the UK in search of refuge from Congo, what would be like, how would you protect them? Because sending them back to Rwanda is going to put them in more danger. And then the person who was answering the question literally was like, Rwanda and Congo are separate countries.
These are people.
Everyone,
these are people
in the audience. Dropped their head.
Just shook their head, embarrassing.
And then apparently, like, the official answer from him was that there's a clause in there that, like, if Rwanda endangers you more than the country, whatever, like, there's like a clause that, like, is a safety mechanism.
Yeah, but that's just
that's going to protect them. First of all, we know how that's going to play
out. Yeah. They're not like, going to pay credence to that.
Oh my God, the people that are like in power in this country don't even know that Rwanda and Congo are different countries.
That's what I mean. Like, this man is sent to represent this bill. This man is sent to persuade the audience and the public that this is the right thing.
Audience and answer their questions.
Not even that. But he's sent there specifically to persuade the audience and the public that this is a good idea, that this is the right thing.
He's the front man in that situation for this bill, right? And he's not even fit to answer, like, the fact that it's a different country from another.
If they cannot even differentiate the difference between these two countries, it makes me really question and doubt the due diligence that was put into the passing 100%. Of this bill in the first place.
But I mean, this wasn't the first time questioned.
No, of course not. It's just a very clear example.
I do think it very much shows, like, they don't actually view Africa as a continent. They just view it as one massive area of land that, like,
they can
use to exploit for their own gain.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a different, like, it's not all these different countries with languages and ethnicities and cultures and stuff. Like, it's just one big area of land that can be used for Britain's gain, which... it sounds very like something that happened a few hundred years ago.
Mm. It's just a joke.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm scared. Truthfully, like, I'm actually scared. Like, the precedent that this sets, as I say, the precedent that this continues, I'm scared.
Yeah. I mean, they are expecting that there's going to be a range of legal challenges that are going to come back against this bill, both from asylum seekers and specialist refugee organization.
But I feel like Rishi Sunak has taken this like really personally.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he
it's
has
like it's
been
his, it's his thing.
It's his thing. Like, yeah, this, he wants this to be his like flagship policy that he is like remembered by. And I don't think
it's his thing.
Yeah, and I think that he's not gonna stop. Like, we've already seen it, and he's not gonna stop. And I think he will overturn whatever law he needs to overturn.
I agree.
To get this bill passed. And even if in the end he doesn't, or there's challenges to it, it's the willingness. That's what's scaring me. It's the fact that he's willing to do that. And it's like, how are we in a position where one man is able to devolve power in such a way where he is willing to overturn law and order?
One man that wasn't even elected, can I add?
Brother. Because if I try to do that, they're throwing me in pen. Mm. Like, it's really a different legal system for the politicians and the civilians.
I think you're right in that, like, it's actually so much less about what he's doing. It's just now become so much his thing that like he's now so steadfast in like this going through that he's going to do everything. So he, when he leaves, he can say that this is what he did in his time.
Well, that's the thing as well. I feel like it is even more scary in the sense that we've obviously got a general election coming up, and there is every possibility that we might see the back of Rishi Sunak. I think he's aware of that himself as well.
Have you seen the recent polls?
No.
They're like Labour are quite significantly ahead.
Mm. And that's even without everyone that says that they're not going to vote as well. That's, so I think
that to me is, I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, I wonder what it took to finally do that. But I was thinking about this the other day, like this is a separate topic, still within the remit of Bad Vibes Island, but I just don't think that it's to any credit of Keir Starmer's like political ability or character. Yeah. Like it's a technicality. They're just fed up with the Tories.
They were discussing it.
Or Rishi Sunak in particular. Yeah.
They were discussing it on the news last night, and again, not to give any credit to this man, but people are comparing it to 1997 when there was last a major shift from Tories to Labour, potentially.
The new Labour.
And obviously that was a Tony Blair. And again, not to give any credit to him, but people were saying, like, it doesn't feel like that. Yes, it feels like there is probably going to be this shift towards Labour, potentially, but it doesn't feel as significant as back. It doesn't feel like it's because of the Labour leader.
It's a technicality. Yeah, it's not necessarily that they're voting. It's not a meaningful vote for Labour or a meaningful vote for Starmer. It's just a refusal to vote for Rishi Sunak. Yeah. That's all it is. It's a technicality. But goodness.
Yeah. But yeah, with that in mind, like I'm worried, like you say, about like whether Rishi will rush to try and get this passed through so that he has some kind of legacy. But also on that note, what a kind
little
of...
Little man syndrome. Yeah. Get a grip, bruv. Like,
what a legacy to want to have. Like,
but I think he's just seen his one thing and now he's running with it. It doesn't actually matter what it was.
Ugh. He knows that actually we're sat here and we're huffing and puffing, but there's bare men that are cheering this on.
You know what's like a little bit of funniness in this is that Liz Truss didn't even need to try, and then she got to be the Prime Minister when the Queen died and everything. Like,
she's literally. But you know what? I mean, to be fair, she's known as like the shortest serving Prime Minister, isn't she?
Meanwhile, she's coming out and saying that she's endorsing Donald Trump for the US election. So
she's weird, man. That woman is weird. She's just odd.
In our opinion,
I can say that. I think she's weird. What a peculiar woman.
Right, we're going to play a little bit of music now when we come back. We're going to continue with the bad vibes, but global. Going full Pitbull.
We're not Mr. Worldwide.
Liam is really muffled.
You're muffled?
Still?
Yeah.
Girl. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You the problem?
Sounds like a you problem.
Classic man.
Speaking of...
Well, yes.
Actually, segues very nicely, but she is really muffled, though.
I don't understand. Maybe you need to just enunciate more, Halima.
How now, brown cow?
Okay, that'll do.
Was that better?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the direction that I was speaking in.
Yeah. Wait, speak into it.
Hello?
Yeah, that's better.
You know, that doesn't make any difference for you, though, Simran. You're just hearing it from the laptop. Yeah.
Do you think I could do ASMR? That's definitely a placebo effect.
Okay, right. Let's stop all of that.
Is she doing ASMR?
Welcome to my ASMR channel.
I'm going
to
put you on mute.
Is this... Carlos, don't do...
Right.
Carlos! What do you think? I'm not loud enough. Is that what you think? Do you think I need a mic? Is that what you think? Put me back on now.
Right. Anyway, like we were saying, classic man. Great segue into the not so great topic that's coming up next. For those who don't know, Harvey Weinstein, who is the infamous now film director, producer, etc., Hollywood, in the second half of the 2010s, his reputation went very downhill. After a number of women came forward with a series of accusations of sexual assault against him, some quite horrific descriptions of various things that have happened, like I won't go into it, but yeah, lots of evidence against him, basically. And in 2020, I think he was convicted following charges of rape. It has come out this week that that particular conviction...
Wait, he wasn't just charged with... Like, the whole Me Too movement was him, no?
Yeah, yeah. That was what, like, started
the
that.
The entire Me Too movement was started by the accusations against Harvey Weinstein, because he was... It wasn't just, like, one or two. Like, he was basically running this whole, like...
Everyone knew
syndicate of, like, sexual abuse, where he was notorious for grooming and sexually abusing a lot of, you know, female... colleagues, peers, workers, like, exploiting his position of power. And what this did was spur on the Me Too movement, which was basically a movement where a lot of female and some male as well, kind of people, figures in Hollywood were coming out to also detail and speak out about their experience of sexual abuse.
Yeah.
It was a very profound movement, you know, like it was very impactful. Like, there was a massive cultural shift, I think, regarding the conversations of sexual abuse and coming out about it.
Definitely. But it's that particular conviction in 2020, which has come out this week, is apparently going to be overturned. Now,
you know what's funny is that I'm not on social media. Do you know where I'm getting my news? On YouTube.
YouTube? I saw this. That's a bit rogue.
No, as in, like, you know when you just go on YouTube when you're procrastinating from working and you the Channel 4 clip. Mm. Channel 4 News. Harry Weinstein acquitted.
Yeah.
But yeah, go on, tell us why.
So basically the reason why this particular conviction is going to be overturned is because... they've argued that Harvey did not receive a fair trial in 2020 because the prosecutors called witnesses whose accusations were not part of the actual charges against him that were being discussed. Basically.
But were they relevant?
Well, this is the thing.
So it's a loophole? So,
well,
it's a loophole.
It is, and it also, it's kind of like, okay, so... we've heard evidence of things that he's done and people have believed that he's done it, but because it's not relevant to this particular case, therefore, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I understand that there are certain rules that need to be followed, but I understand that this is a... like, I think my main thing is, why was this not called out there and then?
And what this feels like is a legal technicality, because I think at this point in this kind of, like... I would even call it a phenomenon, right? Like, at this point of all of this, I think it's kind of very... it's more likely than not that this man is guilty, at least in part.
In our opinion. Based on the evidence.
Based on the sheer volume of people that have come forward and spoken out, it is, in my opinion, more likely than not... well, actually, if I could say my opinion, I think he is. I think that there cannot be such a movement of people coming forward about him in such specific detail, and it's all a conspiracy. Like, I just do not believe that. I think that it is pretty kind of widely accepted that this man is guilty of the charges, at least in part. So for him to be acquitted at this stage, it's a once again, it's just a kick in the teeth to, like, those who rely on the justice system, because it's like you are letting him off on a technicality when everyone believes already that he's done it, given the evidence, you know? Like,
And I mean, I don't know if we can say letting off, because there is going to be a retrial, I believe, but it's still... those people are going to have to go through this all over again.
Because the thing is that, like, I know that obviously there's law and order and these technicalities matter and they're there for a reason. But also, like, judges have a lot more discretion than we think. So, like, the judge could also have just been like, you know what? Okay, cool, throw out this piece of information, but still, this is the verdict that I give. Like, to me, it's very suspicious that they would go, that just this one, like, I don't believe that, given the kind of complex web of accusations and people involved, that his entire conviction relied on this one contingent piece of information. Like, I think that it's very, very plausible that even with this information thrown out, they would have had enough to charge him, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Now that you're saying that, I think, thinking back on, like, previous... like, descriptions of trials that I've read and stuff, it does normally sound that it would be like, okay, so that doesn't count, but is it likely that the jury or prosecutors whatever would have found it?
Because this is like one person's testimony, and
however many it
is.
Like, in the absence of these witnesses or testaments that weren't relevant or whatever they were going to say to the case, would the verdict have still been guilty? Yeah, my opinion, probably it would have, because of how many people came out against him. Also, I think, like, if he was going to get off now on a technicality, why didn't his defense pick that up 4 years ago, whenever it was?
Exactly. Like, that would have been a key piece of information. If you're sat if you're sat there and
witnesses coming forward and they're not relevant to what the charges are that he's being charged for, surely as a defense, you would bring that to light.
It sounds to me, yeah, like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in the sense where I'm like, who Illuminati and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm very aware that there is a kind of, you know, I'm very, maybe more so from, like, a Marxist perspective, aware of, like, a bourgeoisie class. And I'm very aware that they kind of exist above the law. And in my opinion, I think that this is just an example of that. I think that perhaps this is just a way to acquit him, not necessarily because he is innocent, but because he is just rich and powerful. In my opinion,
I don't know. And again, it's like with the Rwanda thing, it's like we discuss these things that are completely out of our control, and it's like, what can we actually do?
Yeah, as civilians, what's the incentive for us to follow and respect law and order? Not encouraging any kind of lawless behavior, guys, before they chuck me in prison. But I'm just saying, if our like the custodians of our legal system, you know, lawyers, Supreme Courts, the Prime Minister is disregarding and denigrating kind of law and exploiting loopholes and technicalities to rise above the law. What incentive do we have? And do you know what? Like, I always, this is a separate kind of, this is a bit of a tangent, but I always say, like, the accusation of, like, criminality as a indication of, like, moral depravity, to me, is very, class based. Like, it's charged with classism because it's like we have such specific designations of criminality based on people's structural class position and also their race, where we see working class people or like people of color consistently criminalized to a point where that is kind of how they're iconographized. And yet we have the political class, we have the bourgeoisie class who consistently break laws, and yet they are not imagined through this kind of framing of criminality, you know? So law and order, the, you know, the justice is all a construct at the end of the day, you know?
I think the main thing to put out there is that, please, anyone that has gone through the type of stuff that Harvey has been charged with previously, please don't be try not to be disheartened by this. I know it might feel like a major setback, but it's still ever more important that people do continue to come forward. And
yeah, like, and I agree with what you said, but I think stuff like this makes it everly, like, increasingly harder. And, like, the fact that it will go to retrial and the victims will have to come back onto the stand, which is already proven to be such a traumatic experience, you know, the amount of people that will probably see, like, drop off out of the case as well, because they won't want to revisit it 4 years later. They won't want to get back on a stand in a room full of people that are going to judge them. And we know what these, and this segues very nicely into the other TikTok that I sent, but we know how victims, especially female victims, are treated in a court of law when it comes to crimes like this, that it's very much from the lens of victim blaming and what were you wearing and what were you drinking and all this, that and the other, right? Instead of thinking, like, this person has been accused of something depraved, let's question that line of thought instead of what was the victim's part to play in all of this, right? It's a very traumatic experience to get on the stand and recall such an experience, right? And now you're bringing them to do it 4 years later. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a lot of drop off from the amount of witnesses and testaments we had in the first place to this trial now. And if that, in my opinion, was something that was not purposeful, but kind of purposeful to kind of like bring about a different verdict in the end of this, I wouldn't be that surprised.
I suppose we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, again, solidarity with anyone who's been affected by this or similar topics. But as you said, Simran, does kind of go into another TikTok that you sent on the chat earlier this week that seems to be a trend people are doing.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this really badly and I can't stop thinking about it ever since I've seen it.
Right. Yeah, this has been like really, you know, I'm doing hand movements, you lot can't see this. What's the word, man? My brain isn't working. You know, them ones tingling my brain.
Yeah, can I explain it?
Go on.
Can I just say my piece? Because I just really...
Someone's been preparing this.
So there was like, I don't know if it's like a good debate or like whatever. Like I've literally seen like street interviewers now like start saying it to people on like TikToks, which by the way, like, oh my God, get some better content. but like, there's this question that's been going around on the internet, which is basically asking women if they would rather be stuck in the forest, in a forest with a man or a bear. Right?
Sociopolitical continuation of the doors versus wheels debate.
By a landslide, women have chosen the bear, right? Mm. Let's just sit with that for a second, okay?
That's crazy, isn't it?
Let's think about why.
Yeah.
Because I would choose the bear. Halima, would you choose the bear?
I think so, yeah.
All I have to say is, with the bear, I can predict that the bear is going to maul me and maybe kill me. Yep, that's pretty much the worst case scenario. I can pretty much have complete faith in the fact that if I was stuck in a forest with a man is going to be a man.
Yeah, it's that, you know what it is? It's the element of sadism that's missing from the option of being with the bear. The bear will do what its primal instinct is to do, which is to maul and kill you, probably for the purpose of just eating you, nutrition, whatever, the food chain, all of that good stuff. It's not gonna play with you. It's not gonna... It's not going to be excessive torture.
It'll probably be after you're dead anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, but again, it's not going to be for the purpose of inflicting pain upon you. It'll be for whatever is animalistic brain, whatever. Yeah. So it's not with the intention of like sadism. Whereas with men, and see, this is like initially when I read that, when I saw the conversation, like this question. Initially, I was like, oh, yeah, like men, like obviously, I don't want to die. Like, I'd rather be with a man. Then I thought, like, a man would, you know what it is? And I think, like, it's really sad that women think like this. And I'm not saying that this is the case for all men. I can't believe I'm doing not all men. But, like,
yeah.
I automatically, any time that I am alone with any man, especially in a isolated or like closed off space, my mind goes to a place where the automatic assumption is that this man is going to abuse me. Like, automatically, that is the assumption. Like, there have been instances in my life where that has happened, where I found myself in, like, kind of isolated spaces with men, and immediately I'm thinking, I'm gonna get...
Essayed.
Like, I'm gonna get abused, you know? I'm gonna get assaulted. And I think that for women is kind of like a safety kind of mechanism where we have to assume, unfortunately, that all men are capable and that all men will not hesitate to do that to you, so that we can be vigilant enough to not put ourselves in situations with the men that would do that, right? And in this situation where we're hypothesizing, oh, would you rather be with a man? The only assumption that you can make is that that man is going to be one of those men that is sexually violent. You know, so...
And it's like, it's not saying this, back to the not all men thing, it's not saying that every single man that you're stuck in a forest with is going to, like, do depraved things, right?
Yeah.
And everyone on the internet is defending the kind of man perspective by saying, like, first of all, not all men, but also, like, what's the, you know, people are around, women are around men all day, every day, how often do you come across a bear, right? But then there's so many stats to say that, like, if you don't provoke a bear, the bear's not going to do anything to you. The bear might not even kill you. They might just hurt you. Like, so many different stats. But how many people go hiking and they're around bears, like in America and different countries, right? There's bears everywhere. Like,
the point is, so you'd rather take your chance with a bear.
I can predict what the bear's going to do. Yeah. It's either going to not attack me, cool, or it's going to attack me, or it's going to kill me, right? I can pretty much predict what's going to happen. Whereas it doesn't have that sadistic element of it if I was stuck in the forest with a man. And then my second point is that if I was attacked by a bear, no one's going to ask what I was wearing. No one's going to ask if I was drunk. I'm going to be believed.
It's almost like a more justified, it's almost like a more justified death, right? Like, it's like you get to maintain your dignity, you know, because...
Ask, why was I in the forest all by myself at whatever time of night? Why was I walking with my headphones in? Why did I not have
that's a good point.
Weapon on me? Why was I not prepared? Why was I wearing a skirt? Why had I been drinking that day?
It's crazy that, like, being killed by a bear versus, like, being assaulted or killed by a man. Like, with the bear, option of the bear, because it's, like, a more of a straightforward, like... well, to be fair, in both cases, it's straightforward. It's murder and whatever. But with the bear, like, it's people are more willing to accept it. Like, oh, obviously the bear's going to kill her. Whereas with a man, like you said, Simon, they're going to just make bear excuses. And pardon the pun. They will just make fair excuses to the point where the woman, if you know anything bad does happen to her, she will not even be able to maintain her dignity in that. You know, I think as I was saying before, like I think it's really just the choice of like, would I rather take my chances with a bear versus with a man? And in this situation, I think given kind of like precedent, given just statistic, and given the way that we as women are socialized and conditioned to be as a form of protection, we assume automatically assume that this man will be one of those men that are, you know, capable of sexual assault.
But it says a lot about just the idea of being alone with a man signifies danger to women.
Yeah,
doesn't matter who that man is, whether they are sexually violent or not, right? It doesn't matter who that man is, being alone with a man signifies danger to us because we have to already always be prepared for 100%. Something bad to happen.
100%.
And it's like, there was someone in the comment section of one of these videos basically saying like she hikes a lot. She's like literally been face to face with a bear. It left her alone. Was alone with a man in a forest. He stalked her for like 3 hours and she had to like hide in a ditch somewhere until he like lost her.
Yeah.
And it was like the mind games of like always having your back up, always being worried, that the fact that it could be so prolonged compared to like what the bear could do, right? I know it's very arbitrary, like this man versus bear situation, but like it just says a lot more. It says nothing about bears and says a lot about men.
But also I think it says a lot about our own conditioning as women, because it's like, okay, fine. Even if you did this as an experiment, right, and you got a representative sample, and in the end you found that the bear did in fact pose a greater danger than men, right? As in like statistically, the bear was killing people 90% of the time, and the men were only assaulting people 80 or 70% of the time, like lower than the bear. It says a lot that the majority of women would rather be with the bear than the men, because it just goes to show how deeply conditioned we are to see men as danger. And that's not on us. That's not deliberate. We don't choose to go out and feel scared and to feel paranoid that, oh my God, I'm going to get assaulted, I'm going to get killed, blah, 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 blah. That is based purely off precedence in our society. It's a global precedence in our society, and based entirely on just what we see in our day-to-day lives and what we hear in our day-to-day 100%. Lives, that this is the way our brain is wired, that we cannot divorce these, you know, this fact with the reality of, you know, like,
because like I said this before, like I myself and so pretty much every woman that I know has their own story, or literally I don't know a single other female that hasn't has a story of a sexual harassment, assault or worse.
Yeah, 100.
I literally do not know a single woman who's not had that kind of experience with a man. So it's very, very, very hard to like sit and say like,
there'll be men who wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's obviously like every girl I know has an experience, has a story, right? I would take my chances with a bear. Carlos.
Well, on that note, I have some useful information to offer to this. I'm not going to speak on that, what you guys, because I obviously can't put myself in that position because I, yes.
Grr.
But what I can do is, if you are to choose the bear, I can offer you a useful thing to remember so as to how to approach the bear.
Oh, God.
So bears are scary. I'm not going to lie. Like, they do be scaring me, cool, though.
It is.
Like, they're just like, they're bear. Man, they're very powerful, and strong, like a grizzly bear. Have you seen a grizzly bear?
Wow,
them man are brutal. Have you seen cocaine bear?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it, but
no, I haven't seen either. But like,
so it is brown, get down, black, fight back, white, good night. So, brown bear, if you come across a brown bear, your best thing to do is to get down, play dead. Because it will just, if it thinks you're dead, it'll lose interest and just go away. You literally just have to get down, pretend that you're dead. Whatever. Right. Black, fight back. If you like come across a black bear, you have to basically intimidate it. So make yourself as big as possible. Put your like, get sticks or something.
Don't lie, they want me to batter a black bear.
I don't think you have a good chance with it. But also I think if you make yourself really big, it'll probably run away. Like, if you make yourself look bigger than it, make lots of noise. Like,
what? Black bears are...
That's it.
Can't see the word.
Black, fight back. And then it's white, good night. So if you Which I suppose is good because that's probably the one we were least likely to come across. But
if in any situation where there was going to be a polar bear, something else would have killed me first, 100%.
Yeah.
What? Polar bear's deadly? Like,
yeah, polar bears are literally the most
vicious.
But they
hunt for sport. Like, yeah. They're not.
Is
they
it?
They'll just kill things.
Yeah, they will not be intimidated by you. You're not going to outrun them.
But like, bears are like apex predators. They're really cool animals. They're very, very cool animals. Like, they can run like 35 miles an hour. Obviously, they're so strong. They can climb trees. They can swim. Like, bears are like insane.
Yeah, but if you ever come across a polar bear,
I would still.
That would be a better question, like polar bear or man, because polar bears are really like.
I'd still rather be.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. I think it does say a lot.
I didn't know polar bears were that bloody.
Yeah.
You know, I have vicious. This thing. Yeah. Sorry, let's end this on a happy note. I think I've watched too much Avatar, right? But I just have this thing where I'm like, if I was ever in like a forest or a jungle with an animal, like even if it was like a tiger or whatever, that I would just like look at it, like it would be like trying to.
Oh
eat
my
me.
God!
Calm. Like, you know, Life of Pi. I would just be like calm, and it would just see something in me and be like.
You put your head next to its
you
head.
You good joker. And then we'd be friends.
Joker, guys. Speaking of watching things, because we've got like a bit of time left. Have you guys watched Baby Reindeer?
I don't want to. You can't do it.
Why? It's not scary.
No, but then also it comes back to my point about get off the internet and get a life, because now why are people like trying to hound all these people?
Oh God, it's extremely fast. Wait, you guys haven't watched it, but you know about it. You're gonna watch it.
Watched it. My anger's watched it, and I know what happens. Like, I know what it is.
Similar, you're gonna watch it.
No,
it is good. I'm not like, okay, guys, spoiler alerts. Like, it is really good. So basically, do you know what it is about, Simran?
True story, innit? Yeah,
it's a true story. So like, it's basically Richard Gadd, who is actually the actor who plays. The guy who's getting stalked, it's him. He didn't hire an actor, he played himself. Mm-hmm. So basically, he went through a period where he was like stalked out of, like, he'd been stalked by this like older Scottish woman. And it all started because he used to work at a pub in Camden, and he like gave her a drink on the house because, I don't know, she was looking depressed or down or whatever. And just that one act of kindness basically spiraled like, this year-long kind of harassment and stalking, where she would send like tens and tens of emails every single day, like all over the course of a few years, it was like hundreds of thousands maybe, or at least tens of thousands of emails and calls and voicemails. She basically infiltrated like all areas of his life, including his family, his love life, like everything. And he's now made this like show about it, and it is actually like really good. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I think that it is, I kind of like wasn't really expecting much from it, but it is actually a really, really interesting depiction of like mental health, and also the division of blame when it comes to things like this, because he has a very reflexive like view on like very reflexive portrayal of things, where he talks about how at times he did certain things to perpetuate this because he liked the attention and the validation that this woman gave him, basically. But it is like, it's so insane how like, and a lot of people have like come forward to share similar stories where they've spoken about how very unassuming interactions would turn or have turned into years of like, as I say, stalking and harassment and the psychological impact it takes. But isn't that crazy that like that actually could have just been any of us? Like, isn't it insane that we could one day like have one interaction with a person who is mentally ill, and that might spiral this entire campaign of like stalking and harassment over years.
It's like the same idea as any one of us could now, touch wood, obviously hope it doesn't happen, like walk out and get hit by a car or something. That's literally like, that could happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like literally anything can happen. That's the thing, we watch all these shows and stuff, and it's about real life, and it makes you think, and like you take what you take from it, whatever. But then it's like, actually, if you think about it, that really could happen to you.
Yeah, it fully could. Yeah. Like, and that's what I liked. I liked that in the show, he keeps coming back to this point, like, all because of a cup of tea. Do you know what I mean? And it's really interesting how people like how he framed this initial interaction, and also like the kind of debates and the questions surrounding like would you guys be put off of doing a kind gesture for a stranger if you thought that they're, if you thought it wasn't a self-contained gesture?
Mm.
Like, if you thought that, like, something would happen as a result of it?
Yeah, I like the way it ended as well. I did see that. Because the way it ends is, like, he's in a bar, he forgets his wallet, and then the barman gives him a free drink, and it's like, oh, like, that's the same kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. It is, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought he did, like, a Richard Gere. I think he did, like, a really fantastic job. But, yeah, people basically have been, like, and what he did is, like, he spoke on extensive interviews where he said that he and Netflix have tried really hard to obscure the real identity of this woman, basically. And obviously the internet is like,
well,
MI5, like, they've gone and found.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, guys, yesterday when I was procrastinating doing my work, I did go down a rabbit hole where I like stalked this woman's Facebook. But also, it's such an interesting comment on like our own tendencies to become hyper fixated on people, you know, like it's so, you know, the line between like an acceptable level of fixation versus obsession and stalking, like, because I've also been seeing TikToks where people are like, oh my God, when you, so the stalker woman is called Martha. I've also seen TikToks of people being like, oh, you know, when you notice yourself acting like Martha and whatever. And it's like, it's true. Like we all kind of, I think, display levels and examples of kind of hyperfixation that perhaps aren't necessarily healthy. Because as I say, I did spend ages going down this woman's Facebook purely because I was just so fascinated by her. Like, she is literally, like, the characterization in the show is just incredible. It's actually incredible. Like, because you watch a show, right, and you see someone as eccentric and boisterous as this stalker character, and you think, like, you kind of like leave her in this fictionalized world, and then you find like real life proof of her, and you're like, wow, like, she really exists. Like, she's really.
Oh wait, so they have found her.
Well, yeah, the internet have, well, supposedly. So yeah. Obviously he's not going to confirm, but
I've seen the pictures of it, and it is.
And I know I've gone through her her like Facebook. I said I stopped the woman's Facebook. It adds up.
Just to make sure we don't. I don't think you're going to do this.
No, I'm not going to say the name. It adds up. Yeah. And you know what's so funny as well? Like, on the show, she says, like, she's a racist. And she says something about, like, Asians. Like, it was something, this place is full of Asians. And, like, I was going through her Facebook. This woman hates Bengalis. She hates Bengalis. What, like,
specifically.
She doesn't mention any of the Asians. She only mentions Bengalis. And it's bare Facebook statuses. At least, like, 10 Facebook statuses that I saw coming for Bengalis. I'm thinking, what have we ever done to you? Like, she's there talking about Camden, London is turning into Bangladesh. Get him out. Like, she hates Tulip Siddiq. I think she's the MP of Camden. I think that's why. Mm. She hates her. So, I mean, that was interesting. But yeah, it's a good show, guys. Watch it if you haven't.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's like, I don't know. I'm a bit torn because I think on the one hand, it's good to have shows that are like, this is obviously his way of like coping with it. But at the same time, like, I don't know.
It's a very actually interesting comment on where do you, like, because obviously he did his due diligence. He put out statements that said, guys, don't find this woman. Don't look for her. Respect that this is the parameters. I want to tell you this story through the parameters of the show. Don't extend beyond it. But also, you know, the public, and especially when a show does well, people will become fascinated, people will become fixated.
Especially in this new age of like cold cases and true crime docs and stuff, people really take it on themselves now.
People love people love a mystery. Things. Exactly. So like, also like, you know that people will go and look for this woman. They will disobey you. They will, you know, not honor your boundaries.
Deter anyone.
Yeah. So then it's kind of like, and then I've seen some people blame him as well, where they're like, oh, he knew this was going to happen and he let it happen and blah, blah, blah. But it's like,
nah, not really.
But then he didn't. Yeah. Like, should you now censor and restrict your own art or your, you know,
your own story.
It shouldn't
stop people from telling a true story.
Right.
Like, just the fear of people taking the onus upon themselves to go and find people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, the internet is a scary place when it comes to stuff like that. And I do think,
yeah,
like,
it is.
We went through a very long period where, like, people didn't protect their own digital footprint in terms of, like, their own safety. Like, me, for a very long time, like, my Instagram's been on public, like, going on 5 years now. I now very rarely, but I really don't do it anymore. Like, I don't post where I'm at while I'm there. I'll always
post a
couple of days after. Like, I went to Barcelona by myself. I didn't post a single thing in the location that I was. Basically, all my stories were about 48 hours delayed because I was, like, meeting people there, and I was like, I just don't want people to know that I'm on a hike up this mountain by myself or, like, whatever.
Because anyone could come chase you. All now, anyone could come chase you.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it was a bar or something, like, I just didn't want people to know exactly where I was when I'm all by myself. Even I take it, like, even when I'm at home, I won't post, like, here, like, this is the exact location where I'm at, because I've had situations where, like, people reply to a story and then be like, oh, I'm down the road, I'm coming to say hi, and I'm like, no, that's all right. Not in a weird way, but it's like, you know, I'm social, like, no, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, no, I never, like,
but yeah, I just think, like, protecting your own, like, there's this guy on TikTok, right? He's kind of come under a bit of fire, but I think he kind of is a bit in jest. I'm not entirely sure, but he kind of did this thing where, like, have you seen the guy that does really good geo guesser? Like, he can literally, you can see, like, a patch of dirt and he'll be like, that's Australia.
Guys, guys, I'm obsessed with geo guesser. Oh, I'm God. Obsessed. No, no, no. Wait, I'm sick at it.
Let me explain.
Sorry, sorry.
So you know that guy, the geo guesser guy? It's not him, it's someone else, but it's the same vibe, right? He'll, like, see a TikTok of someone.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's scary, he'll, like, it's terrifying.
Trace their hotel room, literally exactly to their hotel room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, that's actually just really dangerous. And you're kind of just telling dangerous people the cheat code to how to find, like, women in hotel rooms and stuff like that. So he's kind of come under fire, but I think he still does it. But it's mad to think, like, that's how easy someone could find someone's exact location. So basically, moral of the story is don't post where you are when you're there.
Yeah, for sure. I think your digital footprint is something to be, like, really conscious of. Also, in terms of, like, data harvesting, because I really just be putting my information out here. I'll be filling out my name, my address, my birthday for anyone that wants it. I'll fill it out.
I'm too scared to use TikTok Shop.
Yeah, I've done it.
Well,
I've done it.
You know, we were talking about greens last time we had an episode. My friend ordered them for me today on TikTok Shop because he already put his details in there. I was like, can you just buy it for me?
Oh, what a nice friend.
He's done the damage.
On the note of TikTok, have you seen that it might be getting banned in the US soon? Be interesting to see. Yeah, unless
they sell it,
but
they just said then they're going to refuse to sell it. They said that's it, then it's banned.
Well, that's what I mean. That's going to be really interesting to see how that affects TikTok, because it's one thing it being banned in India, China, like, not China, sorry, India per se. But, like,
it is banned in China, isn't it?
I think China created it. That's why it's banned in India.
It's banned in India.
Yeah,
it's not banned,
in China. Oh, they don't use it in China. Or it's like a very restricted version of it or something.
I'm not sure, but I know it is banned in India. Like, you can't access it.
Oh, but yeah, people do, though. VPNs and stuff.
You have to do a VPN.
Guys, yeah. There's better Indians on my TikTok. I don't know what kind of ban this is.
You know, favorite one is, like, you get one oil.
Furthermore, I'm glad we're actually talking about this. Someone needs to give the Indians credit for putting TikTok on. Listen, in the pandemic time, in 2020, when TikTok had just been created, do you remember there were other apps called, like, Triller and all that kind of, what was the other one?
Musical.ly
and Triller. People thought that TikTok was going to be another one of those, because the only people that was using TikTok was the Indian freshies that were basically living out their Bollywood dreams. And people would laugh and, like, poke fun at them. Look at the platform now. We cannot get a single music hit without the platform. Someone needs to give the Indians credit for having foresight and for having vision. And I'll never give India anything else but that one thing. That's my piece.
I miss it, though. Like, I miss the charts not being dominated by TikTok. Like, it is a bit annoying. Like, I was looking at the charts the other day. The music charts. Like, I do, like,
it is like a huge, it's an institution. TikTok is an institution. Like,
that song by Hozier that's gone to number one.
I'm glad. I love him. I've been loving him. And he did not get his flowers. Sorry.
But, like, TikTok is weird because it was just, like, funny dance app. Like, I don't know how long videos, like, 15 seconds. And they went to a minute. Now they're 10 minutes. And now it's basically YouTube. I got a notification saying they're thinking of making it, like, 60 minutes now. So it is basically YouTube.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's a search engine. It's, like, an online distribution, like, retail thing now. Like, it's a...
That's what I mean. It's an institution. You know, like, whatever their formula is, like,
Now they got stories. It's bad.
Yeah. Good for them. I do love a bit of TikTok, not gonna lie, especially since I don't have
Instagram, America, Twitter right American now. Like Senates like make me laugh. Like that whole video of like the guy like, have you ever been involved with the Chinese?
The Singapore guy.
I am Singaporean.
Yeah.
So, 2 years I was conscripted, blah blah blah. And he's like, so you're affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party? It's giving Rwanda and
it's
Congo
giving Rwanda. Country. That's what I was just about to say. Why are these government? Me too. Let me be a government official since you don't need to be qualified at all in any way. Let me apply. Anyways, guys, what I was saying, I'm extremely obsessed with GeoGuessr.
And you get good at it like that guy.
I'm sick at it. I've been playing because I haven't paid for it. I'm actually thinking about paying for it, guys.
Is that for it?
No. There's like a free version where you could play 5 games every 8 hours. So I haven't paid for it, but I think I might. This is what's been keeping me sane through this entire week of like
5 games. You mean like 5 guesses of the world?
Yeah. Have you seen it? It's an actual app.
I used to play it when I was in school.
I never knew what it was. Someone told me about it the other day. And like
I used to play it in school.
So I'm like very, I don't know if I've spoken about this, so I'm very obsessed with geography. Like I think this is like very.
Do you know what you're like? What? Jet Punk. We used to play that in school all the time. It used to be like guess every country in the world. Yeah. Every state in America.
Sporkle.
Yeah, basically.
I stay up till the early. Guys, listen, when I'm awake at 5 a.m., more often than not, like, I'm playing geography quizzes. I'm playing Sporkle. Like, I'm not joking. Like, my family and my friends, like, think it's, like, very neurodivergent of me, which it probably is. But, like, I am, speaking of hyperfixations, I am obsessed. I am, like, addicted to maps and geographies and flags. Like, I remember when I went to America last year or the year before, I had, like, a 7-hour flight. And for half of that flight, I slept. And for the other half of that flight, I didn't watch a film. I didn't listen to any music. I sat there. Wallahi, I'm not joking. I sat there and stared at the world map to, like, fortify my memorization of it. On my phone, the only games I have are, like, geography quizzes. Me and my sister, the biggest fight we've ever had in our 26 years of being sisters is when she refused to play a geography game with me.
Yeah, I've heard this.
So I where did you hear it? Did I tell you?
Yeah, you said it, yeah.
Yeah.
was it on the plane, did you say?
I was on the plane and I was crying because I was like, you never want to play with me. Anyways, so like, I didn't know about GeoGuessr. And it's basically like a random snapshot of somewhere random in the country, and it's like Google Maps, so you have to like move the thingy around, the cursor around, and then you get a minute and 30 and you have to guess where it is. I'm sick at it, you guys. Like, I think, like, is there a competition? I'm not exaggerating. Is there a competition?
They do tournaments.
The way the game works is that the first round is like get this many points to win, and then the second round is beat the opponent. I've never lost to an opponent. Guys, can I do this competitively? I'm being so for real. Like,
I can't decide.
There's tournaments.
I can't decide whether I'm more or less of a fan of this than the chalk crushing.
That's what it is, man. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not watching chalk crushing. See, I can't be, you know, laughing at this Martha woman from Baby Reindeer. That's her character name in the show. Me too. I'd be having hyperfixations instead of men. It's chalk and geography games. Like,
you know, one thing I did learn the other day.
Go on.
I was like looking at the map, and I was like, I looked, which I didn't know this until now. I was looking at the map, and I was like looking at Bangladesh. And first of all, I was like, oh, you know what? It's actually quite small. Like,
it's tiny, geographically. It's tiny. Yeah,
I was a bit shocked by
that's
that.
That's why we're so densely populated. It's not just the number of our population; it's because we're geographically tiny as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. And but then also, I was like, I was looking to the east of it, and I was like,
Myanmar.
What? Well, not even that. I was looking to the east of
India.
Because I was like looking to the east and I was like, why is that area not labelled? And I looked and I was like, wait, India loops around.
They haven't labelled Eastern India.
No, it's like, it's just all part of India. I was like, wait, what? And I was like, I had no idea that India loops around. I thought
Bangladesh.
It just was like,
We're bordered only by Myanmar and India.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, we don't have any neighbours.
Learn something new every day.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well,
can we do a geography quiz on this show one day, please?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll organise it at some point when we're next all on.
Can we do? Do you know what the best game is? flags of the world. This one is maps, flags, yeah. and capitals.
My
it's
friend
so good.
Now scores like that. She likes flags.
Oh, it's just so good.
So she should come to buy radio. They've got them all outside.
Yeah, all of them. See, this is what I mean. Do you remember that time when I come in and like yeah. I was, Carlos was setting up and I was just walking around like naming yeah. every single country. I'm like so neuro anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time to wrap things up here. Thank you both for joining today.
This is a lovely chatty episode, guys.
Yes, I love a chatty episode.
I'm surprised I had this much energy.
I know, we got there in the end. Who would have thought at the start of this episode?
Got there in the end.
Right.
I'm so
yeah.
tired.
No, Simran, we're ending on good vibes. Come on.
Sorry. Good.
What are you doing with the rest of your day?
I'm going for a run.
A run?
You're so good. Teach me, man. Like, you know, people have keep talking about, like, oh, as soon as you hit 20, you know, the urge to run a marathon when you're 25. I'm thinking, why did that one miss me? You know, what else missed me? The
yeah.
development of your frontal
Actually, let's
cortex.
Talk about that. Let's talk about that next week about running a marathon.
Yeah. Not everyone says apparently it's like a quarter life thing, but I'm thinking, like,
I'm gonna do it.
Why did the spirit of marathon running not, why did it not locate me? Like,
Carlos, did it locate you?
No, I've got a heart condition, so I can't.
Actually, I don't know that.
Oh my
you
god,
do, Ellie, but...
people are running it with no legs.
Ah, Simran! That was so. You know, I wouldn't have that personally. He's gonna do something. But
can I say one thing quickly about the marathon? Yeah. Obviously, like, say I did like London Marathon 2026 or something. Yeah, obviously. I'm going to be like 8 hours of sleep. I ate my peanut butter bagel in the morning. I've been training for months. I got the best shoes, shorts, clothes, you name it. Yeah. The sunglasses, the hydration jackets, the electrolytes. Yeah. So prepared. I could never physically fathom being at like mile 20. I can't feel my legs. I haven't felt them. I've like pooped my pants. I'm knackered. I'm crying. I'm emotional. Everything hurts. I'm slower than I wanted to be. And then getting overtaken by someone in like a Colin the Caterpillar costume. I saw three men in a Colin the Caterpillar costume all running together. Two men in a camel suit, a Sonic the Hedgehog, a Rubik's Cube. A man did it with a fridge on his back.
People are different. There are some people that are just better than others, not gonna lie. And like then people, they're better than me.
Some people will do the marathon and that's their like physical peak of their life, right? And obviously,
and for some people, it's nothing.
People are out here doing ultra marathons, back-to-back marathons, just like, running a marathon with a fridge on their back.
But then like, for those people, I'm kind of like, is it not? Even a marathon is like a bit too much for your body. So doing the ultra marathons, like, is it not like...
Yeah, but their bodies are conditioned differently. Like, people are weird. People really be doing it. Like, people be running. But this is what I mean. Everyone's talking...
Being in my darkest hour of a marathon, like mile 20, you've still got 6 to go, and someone dressed as Sonic the Hedgehog just goes flying past you. I would cry.
I can't imagine anything to do with a marathon. Like I say, people be talking about it like it's a normal thing. Everyone's going through it. I'm like, nah, like, I wish... The frontal cortex, the development of the frontal cortex at 25 missed me, and so did the desire to run a marathon. God, please, let it locate me, please. I am here. So I'll send location, please.
Someone did the London Marathon, but at every mile they tasted a different wine.
Oh, he was cool, but yeah, he raised a lot of money actually.
He'd be drunk. How could you run?
He was.
Wow.
So I mean, some people are just better than others. Whatever.
Right. Anyway.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, Simran. Not a fan of you anymore. You insulted me.
Why?
You said that I should run a marathon.
He's just being stroppy.
Whatever.
Attention seeking.
Focus on yourself rather than other people.
She's going for a bloody run. She's
going
for a run.
I'm wearing my gym gear.
Where are you going?
To the gym.
I'm the only one going to bed.
Right. You know what, Simran? When you point one finger at someone else, you've got four pointing right back at you.
Carlos, just run the marathon.
Yeah, just
all right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.